make everybody read that.
Yep.
I don't know what the cheese is. I don't know who moved it. I don't know where they moved it to. I don't care. Truth be known, I have no vested interest in cheese moving. None.
Hello.
It's,
are we late?
It's 1:10, inexplicably. How did that happen?
I don't know. We were just behind. That's weird.
It's all very strange. I think the time is shifting underneath us. We've fallen into some sort of a wormhole. Well, whatever. It's 1:19 after the hour of noon. This doesn't bode well. On the hour of something, and I've just made a complete disaster of this whole thing. Try again. Hello there. It's the best show ever. It's 1:32 after the hour of 12, and this, the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for your attendance today. We appreciate it. We know it is not compulsory, so we extend our thanks to you. If you'd like to call us today, it's 503-733-2970. You want to be part of the program, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Coming up today, we have news from the Sunshine State of Florida. We have a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, who's going to be joining us today to talk about, I swear to God, terrorist threats against a kangaroo farm. We've also got, do we have Lisa Goddard or is she gone?
She's already gone.
Uh-huh.
And Gary Baumgarten's sick.
Sure.
And Jim Roop's with his child. And Bob Costantini's gone.
So Lisa Goddard now can just knock off at 3 p.m.? Yeah, that must be nice. They have sort of a laissez-faire attitude towards the work ethic at CNN. Hey, work is sort of in quotes there. All right, what else? We've got, we didn't get to this yesterday. Yesterday we were talking to Will Olandria. From the World Series of Pop Culture, because he's part of that PDX 503 team. I was trying to bluff my way through that whole conversation with him yesterday because I don't really know when the show was on. It's so hard to keep track of when anything actually airs these days, especially on cable, where it's not that they... It's just that the schedule is all over the place, especially in a channel like VH1. You can never really tell when anything's going to air.
Turn it on anytime. They're always talking about the fray. Somebody's getting paid envelopes with cash. I guess someone from Intercom must work there.
That's Tim Riley who said that. Well, that's really when you appreciate the TiVo, though, is when you have cable. Because you know what the TiVo is? The TiVo is sort of like it's like a fishing net. You know what I mean? Because there's two types of fishing. There's the active fishing where you got the pole and the rod and you're standing there and a guy says, ahoy, and then you throw the thing in and then you reel it in. And then there's where you just hang a net over the side and then you go get blitzed in the cabin. And you come back later and you see what's washed up in the net. And that's what the TiVo is. You throw it over the side, and then you check it a couple days. You know, once or twice a week, you just look to see what's washed up inside of it. So that's with the World Series of Pop Culture. But the point is that Scotty J has compiled some questions for us. Luis, what?
Did you read them? Were they about Donald Rumsfeld?
I have not heard them. No, this is the actual sound. He hasn't written them down. These are the actual... What he's done is... Because he's got lots of free time, apparently. Scotty really is a classic overachiever. All I said is, why don't you get us some... Because I had all these people saying that the questions that I answered the other day were too easy. And I know that some of the questions I answered, people claimed that we were not using questions from the actual show, that we were using questions from, like, the telephone poll they did to find contestants, and questions from the website, etc. So these are actual questions from the show. So what he did is he took the questions and he chopped them in half. So we've got the question and then the answer. So we can actually recreate some sections of the World Series of Pop Culture on the program. So we'll do that later on. This is now the time in the Rick Emerson Show when we should be taking caller 5 at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I would take caller number 5 right now because we've learned that we need an external force. You know, in the automotive world, they have a thing called a governor or a regulator or a limiter, but it's an external piece of equipment that regulates and monitors at your speed. So it's like sometimes if you're a poor driver, they'll put it on your car so you can only go like 55 miles an hour. So we need one of those to keep track of what I do in the program and what I fail to get to. And Sarah was doing it for a while. But then we would always just forget. And then it would dissolve into some sort of a cat fight at the end of the program because Sarah would fail to keep an accurate tally of what I did and what I did not. And then she would just be making stuff up at the end. And then it would always, everything would just degenerate into some sort of a fight about what she was fabricating and what was real.
Like things you put on the list and then tried not to take any blame for them.
But you would, but I'm not going to be drawn in. See right there, you know what you were doing right there? You were instigating. Right
no.
there, you were trying to provoke. You were being a Mike Chase right there. That's where we were making the peace, and then Mike Chase weighs him like the Emperor Palpatine and decides that he wants to start stirring things up. Not unlike the snake in the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to be pulled in. So we need somebody to keep track of the things that I forward promote or guarantees, and then the things that I do not get to. And then at the end of the program, I will then owe a push-up for each item not gotten to. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I know you're not doing. I know you're not keeping track of the push-ups. And you're going to try to, like, double it up.
You have 10.
Are we sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
Because it was like, it was...
If nothing else, it would be a higher number than that. So I'd stick with 10 if I were you.
All right. Listen to that. Sip, you know what's good for you.
No, because that guy was tacking him on yesterday.
It's, anyway, so it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What? Well, where... Scotty's putting up on the screen. Take caller number 6, Kemp. I'm looking at the phones. There is no caller 6. There is no Kemp. Yeah, I have no idea. All right. Well, apparently just keep dialing like lemmings, apparently. Just keep plunging on it. Just keep dialing, apparently, for no readily apparent reason. It's 503. Oh, I see. He took the correct caller, told everybody else to buzz off, and then lost the caller. Well done. So I guess dial again. It's 503. And just do it. Just do it. We'll just spend the whole day doing this. It's 503-733-2970. And just for participating in that, we'll have a pair of tickets to the Oregon International Air Show, which happens this weekend. And all weekend long, it's like 90,000 people that go to the thing. And it is pretty damn fantabulous. We've already gone to that. Just for the skywriting alone. And we've also got we're going to be set up out there, too. When you go in, somebody asked me where we're going to be. We're going to be located, quote, in the entertainment center area. And then Gia puts helpfully, there is no landmark or anything else I can tell you to help out.
It's a runway.
There you go.
There's nothing there.
Somewhere inside a morass of 90,000 people, there will be a small tent. Look for that tent. We have tickets to the NHRA Nationals and all this stuff out there, too.
All right.
Do we have, who is this? It's Mike. Okay, thank you. Scotty's now adding editorial comment, Dan. He says, Mike will keep track of your ADD. Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing real good. Yourself?
I'm rolling along, brother. All right, so are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so here's the thing. I'm going to give you the overview of the things that I'm going to talk about today, and then about 2:45 or so, we will contact you, and you must then list the things I've gotten to, the things I've failed to get to. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so coming up today, I really should be doing this earlier, because then what happens is I have to go to this whole list twice. We will be going to Florida. We will have the Florida story today. We will be talking to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy about a terrorist attack at a kangaroo farm. We will be recreating a segment from the World Series of Pop Culture. What else? We'll be talking to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And because I've delayed this for a whole week, we will do to news that hurts today. We will do an installment of News That Hurts. All that plus comments, emails, phone calls, etc., and so forth. All right, have you got that, sir?
Awesome, yes.
All right, there you go. So, all right, Mike, there you go. Thank you. I'm putting you on hold. All right, Scott has your information, and we'll get back with you at 2:45. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm a little hungover.
Okay. Because you were at a thing? You were doing a... You were at some... What were you... You were at a dance party?
Yes. Dancing and karaoke.
And was this where? At a place or at somebody's house?
At Sabala's, then a dance party.
And you were dancing to Guns N' Roses?
Yes.
Okay.
That was only for like 5 minutes, though, and then I'm like, oh, I'm tired.
All right.
I'm very exciting.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I need my coffee.
Man, show's picking up momentum left and right.
I know. I have a headache. Let me just get some coffee. I'll be okay.
It's okay. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Israel bombs Hezbollah. Hezbollah bombs Israel. Israel rebuilds in less than 5 minutes. A woman finds stakes in her car. And thieves glue a Florida woman's mouth shut and rob her.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I just didn't expect that to. I didn't expect that to come out of your mouth.
Expect the unexpected.
Well, seriously, what is it? We have snakes in a car.
Yep.
Hey, let me. Oh, I forgot to guarantee this. By the way, you know what we have later on? Because everybody's all amped for the snakes on an MFN plane. I have, this is leaked to us by our good friend Aaron Geek in the City. I have the, apparently this is official, I have the official theme song for Snakes on a Plane. I believe it is the real deal, too. I don't think it's a wacky, I mean, it is wacky because it's Snakes on a Plane, but I think it's the actual theme song. So we will play that today. Speaking of guarantees, before we get to everything else, we've got this from, let's see, this is from our good friend, some guy, Todd. Rick, I want to thank you for making my already awkward social interactions even more awkward. We were hanging out with friends last night and talking about something or other, and it was getting late. Someone brought up a subject that we didn't have time to talk about, but we were all interested in. So someone said, let's talk about that the next time we hang out. In my wackiest radio voice, I bellowed, it's a guarantee, expecting uproarious laughter. I was met instead with 5 seconds of terrible, terrible silence and people averting their eyes from me and then lots of shifting in seats. Thank you. No, thank you, sir. And there you go. Here's the section where I would normally insert what I did in the last 21 hours in an attempt to be relatable, but it was really a whole lot of nothing. It was just sitting around the house. Oh, I went to see the Devil Wears Prada.
What'd
you
think?
Well, let me put it this way. I was taken to see the Devil Wears Prada. We'll put it that way. Don't grit your teeth at me.
I'm just looking at Tim because we both loved it.
Here's the thing about the Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, I need my coffee first.
Sorry. Boy.
Somebody
need a new batch of kitty litter over there? Sorry?
I don't get it.
It was meow. That kitten's got claws. That's what I was trying to... Let's just go to the news. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. Good heavens.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour.
Cross some sort of a line.
From the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon.
Talking about a movie.
CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting.
Look, all I said was, you said... Let's back up even further. I said I was taken to see the Devil Wears Prada, which is accurate. Which is,
and wait, what did I say that was so catty?
It's not even you said anything. People at home who just listen to the oral portion of this, this is why I'm unclear about whether we need a webcam or not. I really am undecided about this. People have asked if we can get a webcam. A, we would all have to dress normally every day. Because sometimes, and this is more for Sarah and myself, we just rolling off the bicycle all sweaty and disheveled, looking like something that the cat scraped off its feet.
I know, I used to put on makeup and everything when I got here. Now not so much.
I used to bathe. But if you can see us now, there would just be little stink lines coming off of us, like in a cartoon. Not the City Desk, though. The City Desk, there's always a fresh, pleasant
like
fragrance.
Like flies and mosquitoes.
I took a shower today.
I didn't.
Okay, so let's hear about the Devil Who Wore Prada.
No, I was taken to see the Devil Wears Prada
not
last
willingly.
Night. No, because and I went into the movie with no preconceived notions, maybe a few, in that it is a chick movie by and large. I mean, that can't be. Let's call a spade here. Yes. I'm not saying that men can't like it. I'm saying it's a chick movie.
By and large, yes.
And I'm not going to get into the whole thing of, how do you know it's a chick movie? We all know it's a chick movie because the book has a little swirly font on the front of it. Everything's written in a little... I'll guarantee you that didn't the book have some sort of...
The book has a red high heel with the spike being...
Well, there you go. The book's got a high heel shoe in the front. Mm-hmm. But I do like Meryl Streep. I've said that in the past, and I like Stanley
Tucci.
How
awesome was she in that?
She was great. But I never would have gone to see it, like, were I not married. I will just admit that. That's what I mean when I was taken to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Don't make me call you out.
What?
About how you might be actually reading the book.
I'm not reading the book. No, I asked you if I should read the book.
You absolutely should. It's a great book.
Because I wondered if that would...
Well, it's mandatory now.
Let's talk endlessly about how I'm going to read The Devil Wears Prada. No,
I know, I still don't know what you thought of the movie.
Okay, but I have to defend it. I'm on two fronts now. I'm fighting a war on two different media fronts. I had asked about reading because Lars got The Devil Wears Prada because it's like a rule that all women everywhere must own the book. And my question was whether that would enhance my movie-going experience. Whether that would somehow, because I was already anticipating that maybe the movie wasn't going to be my cup of tea, so I'm like, well, maybe I should read the book. I had no time to read the book, so I went and saw it. And it's not a thing I would have seen just given my own druthers. But I will say that it was a well-crafted, well-made film. But while watching The Devil Wears Prada, and by the way,
was it better than Superman?
God, I honestly don't know the answer to that. Probably not.
Okay, let's check back in a week and see how much you remember from both movies. Because I bet
that you can't come up with a half dozen scenes that you remember from Superman.
All the scenes I remember from, we've now skipped ahead apparently to 2:30 in the movie segment, but all the scenes I can remember from Superman, I remember, and this is my initial criticism of that film, all of the scenes I remember from Superman Returns are scenes I remember because they're just clones of scenes from the original, from the 1978 Superman with Christopher Reeve. I've been fully upfront about that. That Bryan Singer, that's why I thought Superman Returns was so lackluster, because the moments that you're like, yeah, are just moments that, because he's reaching inside and he's twisting that Gen X nostalgia button. Like, he's turning the remember your faded childhood knob, like, as high as he possibly
can. DEFCON 2.
Seriously. What is it? Because they're doing the same Superman Returns. The opening credits have the same font. You know, the credits do that thing where the letters elongate as they go across the screen. He uses the John Williams score.
Yes.
And you know that Williams probably just charged him through the nose for that, because how'd you like to be the guy that scored the rest of Superman Returns? And knowing that no one cares, that your score is just there to move the needle, as Tom Likas would say. It's just filler. Because when you go to see Superman Returns, all you're waiting for is just that, you know, and you're like, yeah, it's great, you know, and then the rest of it is just, it's mindless pap.
That's what you think of the movie, right?
So I go to see The Devil Wears Prada. We're not going to get any actual news here, are we?
We will.
So I went to see The Devil Wears Prada, and I believe...
Overjoyed to be there.
Yes, and you were not brought there.
I am overjoyed to be spending time with my lovely... Well, she's not in town. I was dragged there. And, but I believe I was the only straight man in the theater. That particular show. Because it was like, no, you call a spade a spade. Because, you know,
there were many men and women at my showing.
I went there
earlier. Obnoxious children.
I went there earlier than most people probably do, because it was right downtown, so I went there straight from work. You know, most guys go home and they got to be browbeaten for 2 or 3 hours before they go. And so it was me and Lara, and then like endless house frows, like rows upon rows of like 42-year-old women straight from an Applebee's somewhere. And I will say that The Devil Wears Prada was really well made, well constructed, but I do feel it was sort of like watching a movie through 6 inches of glass. And by that I mean I could see the movie, I could appreciate it, I could note all the ways in which it was well done, but it's just I could not lose myself in the film. It just did not draw me in any way. I think because I don't... Because nothing happened in the film that I could possibly relate to or care about in any way. I was watching it, and because Stanley Tucci at one point gives this whole speech about, let me tell you why Vanity Fair... I'm sorry, Runway... That magazine matters. Let me tell you why Vogue. Fashion matters. Is it Vogue? I thought it was Vanity Fair.
It's Vogue. No, right. Anna Wintour.
Is that why they played the Madonna song,
mm-hmm.
Vogue?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why they played it.
Oh, that's like in Casino.
See, you remember that now.
I do. Now I remember that.
They mention Anna Wintour by name like 3 times. They're like, they make sure to separate the
character
from her.
And that's who?
Anna Wintour is the
Is she
editor.
The woman it's based on, that Meryl Streep is based on?
Yeah, she's just notoriously known to be a horrible woman. She's the editor of Vogue.
This is like in Casino. Rick says, desperately hoping to pander once again to the male listeners, reaching to the knob, trying to see if they're on the right station. This is why, like, in Casino, because he works at the Tangiers, that's what they call his casino in the movie, because Robert De Niro works at the Tangiers, and not the Stardust, which is obvious, which is what it's based on, but you'll note that every time they show the Tangiers casino from the outside, they play the song Stardust in the background.
Huh.
And that's a little, like, wink of the, hey, it's really the Stardust, because they want to get sued. Same way that I heard about The Devil Wears Prada of the movie, and it's stuns me how much I know about this movie that I don't even really care about. I am to understand that in The Devil Wears Prada, the film, there's a lot of designers and fashion and stuff that they couldn't use in the movie because what's-her-name from Vogue threatened to blacklist and punish designers that put their clothes in the movie.
So I didn't know that. Tell me more.
Huh.
I know that because we're sitting there desperately trying to avoid being beaten into submission mentally by the 20 as we're waiting for the movie to start. So it's a well-done movie, but it was sort of like Sarah watching, and I don't have some analogy, it was like you watching blah. Something that's well-done, well-made. You can appreciate the craft of it, but it just doesn't grab you where you live. Like, you just don't have any... Like, you just don't care. You don't care about anything that's happening in it. But Stanley Tucci at one point in The Devil Wears Prada gives this big speech about, let me tell you why fashion matters. And I know that was the moment that's supposed to, like, win you over. It's supposed to go, it all makes sense now. I understand. I want to go sashay down a ramp, you know? And
so what did he say?
I don't remember. He was something about...
You remember.
I don't. I honestly don't. Here's the most telling thing about The Devil Wears Prada. I say, continue.
Did you like
20 minutes of discussion about a movie that 2% of the men in the audience have ever seen?
Did you like the guy from Entourage in it?
But we have a lot of ladies listening.
No, Adrian Grenier, who plays Vinny Chase on Entourage, he was in it. And the weird thing about it is how like they didn't. That was distracting to me too because they didn't even try to make him look any different. It's like they literally. It's like
just took him from one movie set. And
it's like he was over at Entourage. Adrian Grenier to Devil Wears Prada.
They just took him out of his trailer and his.
Do I have time to change? No, just walk straight over. Keep your hair and outfit the same. Don't get a new accent.
It was so weird to see him play wholesome boyfriend.
And he had the same thing. 5 o'clock shadow, completely unchanged. He looked exactly like Vinny Chase. So that was a little bit distracting to me.
What's Vinny Chase doing in the divorce?
It really was a little off-putting.
Well, that sounds very memorable.
Meryl, I'm not saying it was a bad film. Clearly, I will say that I remember more about it than I think I will about Superman Returns.
Well, that was my point.
But Meryl Streep was really good, and I've said that I find Meryl Streep really hot in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something about like powerful women. Mm-hmm. There is something about this is like
it's
that time.
Martha Stewart syndrome.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. It is the same thing. And people can think whatever they want about that, but there is something. There's this cliche that guys are only attracted to. Let me put it another way. There's this cliche that guys are scared of powerful women or intimidated by powerful women. And maybe that's true for some guys. It's not really for me, though. Because there's if a woman is hot or not even powerful, but has a lot of power, meaning not even a powerful personality, but if a woman literally is in a powerful position, vice president or president, or like when we found out that Lisa Goddard majored in economics, so you know she's got like the fat bank account, I totally find that to be a turn on. And I don't know why. There's something about that. So the Meryl Streep character, I've said in the past that she's kind of strangely attracted to me, and even more so in that movie. But here's the single most telling thing about The Devil Wears Prada. I don't know where you all. Where did you guys see? Well, you saw it in Tannisborne.
Yeah.
All right.
They have comfortable seats there.
Some movie theater where they come and wave you with palm fronds, probably. Where did you see it at?
I saw it at the Eastport.
All right.
It was an A-second.
Now, what were the trailers before it, Sarah, when you saw it? Do you remember any of them?
I don't even remember.
Oh. The thing I hate about going to movies in the suburbs, I wish they would stop showing this trailer for a live, paid presentation of Fish in Concert.
I don't think I was subjected to that.
It's horrible.
Well, I saw it here in the Portland metro area.
It lasts for like 15 minutes.
You would think that I would have seen that because you figure that fans can't live in the suburbs.
It's only playing at certain theaters. It's like a pay-per-view thing.
Really?
It's horrible.
Who would go to a theater to watch a pay-per-view Fish concert?
I don't know.
And how is it pay-per-view if it's well, I guess you pay to get in. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Didn't they do that with AC/DC a while ago? And they did that with Green Day, too, except it wasn't live. They played
digitally enhanced or something. Right?
They played Bullet in a Bible, that Green Day film. They played that at the Lloyd, the one not in the mall, but across in Lloyd Center Mall.
Lloyd Cinemas.
We have gone 25 minutes here. We haven't done a single news story, and we've been talking about The Devil Wears Prada for almost half an hour.
We were talking about Fish.
And now we're talking about
how you
Fish.
You were dragged there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't have a guest at 12:30, though.
All right. Well, we should continue on unabated. So, no, I was not subjected
We've
to that.
We've been talking about this for like 20 minutes.
We really have. This is just... You know what? But this is, you know what it is? This is, here's the thing. Yeah. This is relatable to the female demographic.
Which we've kind of been ignoring and taking for granted, so we can no longer do that.
I haven't been ignoring the female demographic. All of our listeners are equally important to us. But also, because here's the thing, is I know there's guys out there right now that were listening, they've taken to see this. Because some of you, like, I know a lot of couples that do, like Don Geronimo talked about this when he and Frieda were together, that they would do the your choice, my choice, your choice, my choice, where they would alternate movie choices. And Laura and I kind of do the same thing. And so, like, we went to see Brick last week, which I never really ended up talking about, but Brick, which is a fantastic movie, and I think it's probably gone by now because it was at the Laurelhurst.
I think it's still around.
Laurelhurst is usually... That's like last stop before Gone for a couple of months, and then it showed... Because I missed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang there, and then that showed up on DVD. So we went to see Brick, which she didn't really care for, but she doesn't have to care for it. It's my choice. She doesn't have to like it. And so then we went to see The Devil Wears Prada. So here's the trailers that were before The Devil Wears Prada. There was some, foofy Richard Gere film. Boy, like, you want to talk about how you know it's a movie that no man anywhere ever wants to see? Richard Gere is in it. Has Richard Gere ever made a movie that a guy was like, yeah, I want to go see that new Richard Gere film? The only possible exception to that is an Officer and a Gentleman. And that's only because I had, like, it had Lou Gossett Jr. in it.
Oh, Brick is still at the Laurelhurst, as is V for Vendetta.
Go, really?
Mm-hmm.
You make it a twofer.
Yeah,
go, really, V for Vendetta is great, but here's why I'm not going to pump V for Vendetta a whole lot, because that movie got a lot of press. Everybody knows about it. It's a great film. Don't get me wrong. It's a great film. You should go see it.
Oh, it's also playing at the St. John's Theater.
V for Vendetta?
Brick.
Brick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. V for Vendetta is a huge film, but I feel like it doesn't need my help at this point. Everybody knows about it.
I don't know. I think it might, though. I mean, it didn't. It got promotion, but not in the way.
Well,
nobody really knows
hit.
What it's about.
It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
It's like this program. It's half an hour of Devil Wears Prada talk.
Well, the original...
And then he interviews Kool and the Gang sometimes.
Oh, and you know, Kool and the Gang is sponsored by Clorox and Vlasic Pickles. Their performance.
I'm sorry.
Their performance. It's sponsored in part by Clorox, Classic Pickles, and Sunny D.
And Hooters.
And Hooters. And Gorton's Fish Sticks.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's right.
Are you kidding me?
No, look.
Oh my God.
You think I make this stuff up? I don't have to.
Oh my God. And then right above this, the Beach Boys. Special guest, John Stamos.
Hold on. Hey, is it too late to get the Beach Boys with John Stamos?
I think they might be separate entities.
Oh, you work on that.
Yeah, they're separate entities. John Stamos comes out and rocks the house by himself for a while. Tickets available at gate, you don't say.
Hurry, standing room is limited.
There's apparently 80 members of the Beach Boys now. Jesus. And then John Stamos, this is so great. Where is it? The Willamette?
It's kind of super.
Or is this the A&E?
That's the A&E.
Is it an old, like, Full House headshot?
No, but please to note now, John Stamos is like three times as big as the Beach Boys, his headshot.
Aww.
It's a picture of the Beach Boys and, like, the worst
font.
Well,
he has a good agent.
The worst font I've ever seen. And then it's John Stamos' head is really crudely pasted in, and it's, like, bigger than all of the other Beach Boys combined. Because John Stamos is the real gate draw there. Jesus God.
Well, how often has John Stamos come to Vancouver?
And you're right. It's sponsored by Gordon's Fish Sticks. How did that come together? I want to be in the room when they were figuring that one out. Kool and the Gang. Mm. They say soul. They mean funk.
The fish stick demographic is sadly lacking here.
Oh, my God. Special guest, Linda Hornbuckle. I don't even know who Linda Hornbuckle is.
I don't even know what a Linda Hornbuckle is.
She must be one of those very special guests.
Isn't she one of those women that Hank Jr. groped and pushed up against a wall somewhere?
That is exactly who it is. That's what it sounds like.
Hey, by the way, speaking of funny names, since we're getting no news done, we're going to have to restart the news hour when we come back. Do you know what Kool and the Gang's manager's name is? It's the best name ever.
No.
Kool and the Gang, managed by, I swear to God, Tita Sneed. Tita Sneed. It's the best name I've ever heard.
She must have had a miserable time in school.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. Oh, and of course, John Stamos with the Beach Boys. Of course, brought to you by Kissin'. I'll be surprised by that. Oh, it's just sad. That is the fish stick demographic.
That's when nobody else will turn their phone call.
That's the gumming your food demographic.
It's the Polydent Revolution.
Okay. Bladder control. It's nothing you like to talk about, but it should be discussed. All right. I haven't even told what trailers were before the Devil Wears Prada. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. Hey, it's the new news hour. Believe it or not. It's the Rick Emerson Show, kids. Tell everybody that this show is exactly representative of what we do. Tonight's program is a microcosm of what this radio station is all about. Back after this, it's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Okay. Rick, this email says, can we get a liner reading noon news hour? Not at noon, not an hour, and now with 60% less news. Thank you. That is all, Chris. There you go. How about this? Rick, were you talking about who moved my cheese? Did they make you read that piece of crap?
Did we? Nobody ever read it.
I think they gave it to us, but nobody read it.
And then we worked on a program called Personal Best.
And then they fired us all.
It was a book for little stick figures pointing at things. Telling you how to live a better life. And the problem was, by the time you finished it, most of the people you started with had moved on to other jobs.
It's true. No, that I'd forgotten all about Personal Best. When we were at Fisher, who I think is still in business, but I'm unclear about that. They might not be.
But it's teetering on bankruptcy, and they were flying, like, the general manager of some radio station in Idaho to come in and tell us how to have better careers.
and the better career, by the way, starts with not working for Fisher. Not that
it wasn't a bad place.
No. I'm not. I don't mean to bash on Fisher. I did not them as.
I think you take a lot of your aggression from Entercom out on Fisher.
When I say that about Fisher, it's not that they treated us badly. They did not. They treated us really well.
Drink and start things on fire.
Well, that's only because they
left us all by ourselves for a year.
Abandoned in there.
I don't. When you say that Fisher let us drink and set things on fire. We should probably, at this point, that should not be construed to mean that we went in and said, Ron Carter, general manager, we would like to drink and set things on fire in the studio.
He was a great guy.
And then he was just sort of like, no problem, and stamped it, you know, go ahead. It's really that they just didn't pay any attention to us at all.
And they left us behind in the building.
And then when they moved, when Entercom came and absorbed us, they moved everybody but us. And then we stayed in this huge, empty, burned-out shell of a building for like a year by ourselves.
With millions of phones and cubicles with a message light blinking.
Messages that would never be answered. And it was all of us just fighting over the conch.
It was so much fun.
Really. That's all it was. So when I make fun of Fisher, it's not that they treated us badly. It's just that the company's financial status was never really stable. And so not that I have job security now, but you just never knew. Like, you were going to come into work one morning, you're going to be like, you know, and the key just wasn't going to work anymore. And you were going to go to the hall, and you were going to see, like, I've worked at radio stations where this, clearly we're not going to get to the news hour. So here's what we'll do. We'll do this hour, and then we'll do the new news hour at 1. And then it'll all work itself out.
Well, it's going to have to be abbreviated, because right in the middle of it, I have to walk out and find my car and feed the meter.
That's what Scotty J's for.
It's gripping radio. Yeah, make him go feed your meter.
All right, he's going to have to go find my car.
That's true.
Do you even know where he parks?
I have a general idea. But I never drive here, and all the streets look the same to me. It's on one of the side streets not far from here.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that you're not coming back after you're
playing. No, I promise I'll come back. But I don't know how long it's going to take me to find my car.
And you know the best part is, this is the show that they're going to send to Les Moonves. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to be, 970, sell it. That's it. And so Fisher just kind of let us do whatever we wanted. But it was not really a very stable company. I kept expecting, I've worked at radio stations where this happened. Where you would come into work, or you'd walk into an office that maybe you weren't supposed to go into. Or maybe you just you didn't announce that you were coming into the office. You would walk in unexpectedly. And you would see the mascot for the new format sitting on the desk. That happened to somebody we know, by the way. His name rhymes with Freein Dorden. And I know for a fact that he walked into the radio station and saw the new logo,
he saw the mascot.
It was at the wolf, and so Ian walked into the office at one point and saw that hideous wolf costume just sitting there. And he went straight to the GM and said, "I am not wearing a wolf costume," because it was all secret and they had announced it. What were we talking about here? Oh, so Fisher was good to us, but teetering on bankruptcy most of the time, including now.
That's fine.
Anyway, so at Fisher, they did gave everybody a copy of the book, Who Moved My Cheese? And then they gave us a copy of this program called Personal Best, which is it was sort of their answer to the Franklin Covey seminar. But it progressed.
It was something right out of The Office.
It progressed so slowly through nobody's fault, but we had one meeting every 3 weeks, and it was a 90-part course. And by the end of it, half the people were gone. The other people had all been demoted, or they'd been moved out of the apartment. Nobody remembered what they were doing. So
there was a test that you had to take, and everyone would cram 5 minutes before class began.
Yes.
Because nobody took the test.
Let's see. Rick, do you like Meryl Streep? Do you also cross your legs at the knee, drink flavored coffee, and pee sitting down? Thank you, sir. Let's see. Last week I saw a guy in the Max reading The Devil Wears Prada. Considering who rides the Max, he was taking a risk, but men do read it. All right. Rick, every time you soar off into a tangent, off topic, a rant, it's worth one push-up for every planned topic you don't get to. Just remember that while you're talking about The Devil Wears Prada for a second hour.
Let's talk about snakes then.
Rick, let me point out that you are talking about the chick flick. We are hoping you'll change the subject. That's from Mike. Let's see. Rick, this is not relatable in any way. No one is relating to this.
Really? I mean, you've been talking about it for 42 minutes, and I still don't know what you thought about the movie. And I don't care.
Oh, here's the
thing.
We
have snake stories waiting here to be read.
We'll get to that. I just didn't care for the film. It was a nice film. Nothing wrong with it. Not targeted for me, and as such, I didn't really identify with it.
Okay.
I will say this about the trailers. If you don't remember what trailers were before The Devil Wears Prada, and this tells you all, and the fish concert. Now, I don't get that one. That's just weird.
Well, I think it's bizarre, really.
Flat out don't understand
even
that.
Even for my neighborhood.
Imagine what that theater must smell like after that showing. This tells you all you need to know about the people who are sitting in the audience for The Devil Wears Prada. There were three trailers. There was a trailer for a Richard Gere film that I don't remember and will never see. There was a trailer for,
The Lady in the Puddle?
No.
Oh, yeah, The Lady in the Water.
I didn't see that. No, it was three. It was a Richard Gere movie, and I don't remember anything about it. There was a trailer for the new Jet Li martial arts epic, which is called, what is it, Unstoppable or Fearless? Fearless. And a trailer for The Transformers. That's it. Two of the three trailers were for guy films. And really aggro guy films at that. So that tells you that the people in the audience, they know for a fact all the men in the audience of The Devil Wears Prada are men who have been dragged there by their wives and are going to be looking for a little payback. That's exactly, it's like, you're here to see The Devil Wears Prada? Here's something you can punish your wife by taking her to see. That's what those trailers are all about. Because as soon as the trailer for The Transformers came up, and of course I recognized it from the first frame because I've been watching it online for like a year, and it does have the dreaded words, directed by Michael Bay. But...
Oh.
Who am I kidding? I'll still go see it. But as soon as it came up, I turned around, I'm like, you're going to see this. So that's totally what that's all about. Is this guy calling? Oh, this guy's calling about Linda Hornbuckle. Jim, hello, sir.
John.
Whatever. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
First off, I'm probably a little bit older than the normal demographic, but I've been listening to you for years. Scotty J did a fantastic job on that top five list with the Cool in the Gang. So... my vote is he did a good job.
I don't even remember what top five we're talking about now.
The one with Too Hot, the hottest song, songs about hot.
Oh, yeah, that was a good list. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Perfectly acceptable list, I suppose.
So Scotty J did a fine job. And the other thing, Hornbuckle, she is a local blues singer, and she had the delay band when he went to prison for cocaine.
Okay.
Well, it was called the No Delay Band.
All right. Sarah's asking if you are, in fact, Scotty J's dad.
Jesus, God, no.
No, sweet holy God. No.
And the other thing, too, is my kids want to know if you're losing your hair, because they watch the Bigger Than Jesus all the time on DVD.
I'm sorry, back up, what?
My kids wanted to know if you're losing your hair, because they've heard your commercial for the hair restoration.
Yes, the answer is yes.
But they go, well, Dad, he doesn't look like he's going bald in the movie. Because they watch your DVD all the time.
We're never going to get to any news this hour. The news hour is going to happen at 1. All right, so let's back up. Bigger Than Jesus, which is a fantastic motion picture.
Fantastic. My kids watch it.
Thank you.
I bet my daughter's watched it 30 times.
Are you kidding? And now, I don't mean this in a creepy way. How old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you force her to watch it at gunpoint?
No, not at all. We're pretty eclectic. She likes that and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So, you know...
But have you had her tested, sir?
She's very, very smart. Both my kids are.
Your 10-year-old daughter has watched, that Bigger Than Jesus is relentlessly profane.
Matter of fact, she got in trouble at school for wearing your T-shirt.
No. Wearing the Bigger Than Jesus shirt?
Yes.
That is fantastic. What school does she go to?
Well, I'm not going to say because her mother and I we almost went to court over it, so.
Oh, you should have gone to court. I would have paid your legal bills.
Well, I used to fly to Arizona back and forth all the time.
Best call
like
ever.
Every week. And I, more than one time, I swear it was because of the T-shirt, they pulled me out and searched me.
It wouldn't surprise me. Okay, hold on a second. Sorry, I had to break that. No, it's, so then, what was I saying? And so then, so she wore it to school, and then they said you can't wear that.
Yes. I got a call within like I'd say an hour of her being in school.
Well, that is fantastic.
And like, you have to come and, well, because you know, I have a son who's a little bit older, and he's a big Insane Clown Posse fan.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, hey, you know what? You can't. You only make them. You can't build them.
It's true. Well, okay. We're really, really, really behind here. So, I will just here's what I will tell you. A couple things. A big props to you and your daughter for her being a bigger than Jesus fan and so forth. And don't hold me responsible for that, by the way, when she goes crazy in 6 years and is dating some guy with tattoos holding a Les Paul. Secondly, as regards the hair question.
They're very concerned.
Are they? Who is your daughter's?
Well, yeah, because my dad's real bald, but I have all my hair, and I'm almost 40, so.
Yeah, rub it in.
Yes. But she's like, I can't believe he's losing. You know, it's a big issue in our family for some weird reason. And half the men in our family have hair envy, so.
Let me ask you this. Does your family at any time, or have they at any time, sat around as a family and discussed Rick Emerson's hair?
Not my major family, but the small, my nuclear family, my kids and my now wife. Yeah, we have. We've talked about it.
Is that
sick? Are we weird?
Sarah?
No, that's not weird. But yes,
please, hold on. Please now to recreate for us. Recreate, if you will, for us. What one of those conversations that your nuclear family has about Rick Emerson's hairline?
Well, I heard the commercial. I said, you won't believe this, but he's doing a commercial for a hair restoration product. And then we kind of laughed. And
thanks for that. I appreciate that. Bada bing.
And then and we talked about, of course, my dad had that weird snap-on Velcro thing.
Oh, did he have that? Did his hair glue on, or how did your dad's hair affix?
You know, this has been like a 30-year thing for him, so it's been a manifestations of all kinds of different cat hair, and who knows, the spray on everything. But
pieces of the couch.
But yeah. my then fiance and I went and saw Bigger Than Jesus
Thank
Live
you,
when it was taped.
Thank you.
And she's like, well, he didn't look thin there. And I said, well, I don't know. And then that's when my daughter chimed in and said, well, I've watched the movie 1,000 times. She says, it looks fine. I didn't see any problem with his hair at all. And then we started talking about what happens when people get older.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. By the way, let me tell you this. As a side note, I went in to get my bicycle, just kind of a tune-up and then a fitting, because I bought my bicycle used, and the thing that holds the handlebars, that was a little too big, and so it was kind of straining my back a little bit. So I went in to get the bike resized. And I told the guy, he's like, well, what's the symptom? I said, well, you know, I kind of got this lower back pain if I'm going uphill for a long time, and I think it's probably that the stem is too long or whatever. And he goes, well, you're not getting any younger, that's for sure. Like, first words out of his mouth. And I'm like, thank you.
Are you going to get the medical hair restoration?
I am. No, that, let me just tell you, this is not, I'm not the, this is, you know, this is a, the real deal. You know me, that I would not front about something like this.
Now I can't stop staring at your hair.
Look away! I'm hideous! No, well, the medical hair restoration is pretty impressive, actually. I gotta tell you, I was really skeptical, and I don't mean this to sound like an infomercial, but people have asked about it.
That's a wave of the future.
No. Thank you. Especially in the next, like, 18 months or so. People have asked about it because, you know, like you said, you don't want to be like that. I knew a woman who worked at the hair club for men. I'm just giving up any pretense that this hour is going to have any point to it. I knew a woman who worked at the hair club for men, and I said, she was a listener, and I said, really, what do you do? And she goes, well, I'm the shaver, and then the girl next to me is the gluer. And I said, what are you talking about? And the deal at the hair club for men is, as I understand it, the deal is that when you are thinning, or bald, but at least thinning, you go in, they look at your hair. And this is at the hair club for men, by the way. This is not medical hair restoration. The hair club for men. As I understand it, you go in, they take a sample of your hair, they find I don't know if it's fake hair or if it's like somebody else's hair that they bought and glued onto a thing, but they match it against you color-wise, and then even if you've still got hair on the top of your head, they just shave it. They shave it and they razor it and they make it, you know, so it's just like a baby's skin, just completely hairless, and then no lie, they just glue the big thing onto your head. And I said, well, how much does it cost? And she said, well, the actual wig itself is only like $100. The glue It's like a give you the razor, sell you the blades. The glue is $590 a month. And so she's like, you know, you can quit paying, but at the end of a month, you're going to be in the pool, totally going to slide off.
I think that's what my dad had, because he had to go in and it was hilarious.
Yeah, you don't want that.
He had to go get service. And we, you know, of course, that was a big joke in the family, too. But
Scotty J is noting it's the weave of the future, Tim.
Hey, but my daughter, when you get that hair restoration thing, my daughter wants, she can't go to any of the events because she's 10 and you don't exactly have shows.
It is not a family-friendly program.
No, well, we like it, but...
Maybe we need a weekend edition, Rick Emerson Show for Children.
Maybe I should sell like a as clean as they want to be version of this show.
If it's any consolation, you're the only show that I turn off my Sirius satellite for.
Oh, thank you, sir. No, that does mean a lot. I appreciate that.
So
I hope the attention CBS corporate. So it's very cool that your daughter is... And tell your daughter to stick it to the man. Keep wearing that shirt, and I will seriously. If your daughter gets kicked out of school, I will arrange to have the legal bills taken care of.
Had it not been my wife's weekend, we would have been at the Horns Over Hospital.
Tell you what, what's your daughter's name? Can I ask? Is that creepy out if I ask her name?
No, her name is Zoe.
Is Zoe listening?
No, she's at her mom's.
She's at her mom's. All right, so she's not able. Okay, you know what? But here, I want you to pass along this message to Zoe. Zoe. Schools are there to brainwash you and to break your will and bend your spirit to those of your future corporate masters. Teachers almost never know what they're talking about. Vice principals very rarely know what they're talking about. And those in charge of school discipline never know what they're talking about. Teachers are frequently wrong and incapable of saying that they are sorry or incorrect about anything. So just stick it out. They never give in.
And then they expect you to donate to the Alumni Association.
Yes, totally.
I will pass that along with that party note. Her mom is a parole officer, so we've got yin and yang.
All right, well, be listening. I'll explain the hair bigger than Jesus conundrum here in a few. So be listening, sir.
I will.
Thank you, John. All right,
bye.
There you go. What kind of a show is this today?
I know.
No, here's the.
This is an hour of my life I'm never getting back.
Well, no, but see, if this hour was happening between 1 and 2, I think it'd be fine. It's that you're used to this being the new news
hour. I know,
hour.
I just feel for Tim. He has all of his news. He's ready to go.
No, we'll do it at 1. We'll do it at 1.
I don't have a problem with that.
You know what it is? This is like when the automation screws up and they play the second hour of Dynamite first or something. And they come back and go, as we were talking about.
It's like being in the dentist's waiting room for that tooth to be pulled.
Here's the answer to the hair question. Mm-hmm. Quit staring at my hair.
I can't. Like, now I see the perfect silhouette of your head.
Fine, I'll bend over, look. Happy? Happy?
Are you going to tell the people why your hair looks so full and luscious?
Here's why.
Jesus.
No, here's why. And how cool is that, though, that his 10-year-old daughter is about bigger than Jesus? That's pretty happy.
Very cool.
And how sad and great that she picked up on the hair disparity. The fact that you hear me talking about medical hair restoration, which, again, I'm a huge believer of. I advocate that. I back those guys 1,000%. It's a great process. It really is. But how great that she heard me talking about medical hair restoration and watched it bigger than...
His hair looks surprisingly lush and full of body and volume and bigger than Jesus. I don't understand.
Here is the God's honest truth. The God's honest truth about bigger than Jesus is, if you look at me there, I swear to God...
Are you going to do it?
It's a dramatic pause. I'm making them wait for it. Anticipation. If you watch Bigger Than Jesus, though, and you know that his hair looked, I can't see any scalp. Spray on hair is what that is. I swear to God, full on, I'm not lying. I'm not saying it for comedic effect. It's funny all on its own. I swear to God, it is spray on hair.
Because we noted how
I would have
good
never thought.
Spray on hair.
When we were sitting Nancy at that last party and you had the
spray on hair
on.
There too, yeah.
Yeah,
but that was just
so
to color
good.
It and then it inadvertently. That was to
and
color
that was
it black.
That's where the idea came from, though.
To color it black. Well, yeah, because that's a good point. Because Sarah and I went as Sid and Nancy to listener party 8, which was last April, right before we got fired. Like, literally, it was after you'd been fired, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was my last day.
It was your last day.
Yeah.
Even though they were big believers in the Sarah Dillon brand. At Intercom. But I went as Sid Vicious, and, you know, I got brown hair, and so it had to be black. And so you and your sister Heather are spray painting me
spraying my hair black, and then they noticed that, look at that, it also happens to cover the scalp.
No, you got so many compliments that I was like, what's wrong? What's different about Rick? He looks so good.
And so then when we went to do Bigger Than Jesus, because the problem with Bigger Than Jesus, it's a stage play. If you don't know, Bigger Than Jesus is a one-man stage play that I did that we then filmed and released as a movie. You can find out more at...
Are DVDs still available?
They may be. You can find out more at rickemerson.com. But it's a stage play. But if you know anything about the stage, the problem is... You get on stage and you got those hot stage lights that are really powerful because they got to illuminate you so everybody in the back can see. And man, I got so little hair on top that every time I would lean forward, sit down, bend over, do anything on stage, it was like you could see right through to the forest floor, man. I mean, it was sad because I'm not completely bald. I mean, I got some hair on top, but I mean, you could see through to the base there. And Joni was like, your head is all shiny. Joni DeRoshi directed it. She's like, your head is shiny. It's like the top of the Luxor. It's a beacon from space. What are we going to do about that? And then the solution came to us. Bada bing. Spray on hair. And it wasn't necessarily to make me look like I had more hair as such. It was just so that my scalp wasn't gleaming underneath the stage lights. But man, the end result of that is that I look like I got a full head of hair. And that really was not the intended effect. The intended effect was just so my scalp wouldn't shine. Because there's even this part of the end where I'm like, I am zen with the fact that I don't need my hair to define my personality, which I guess is kind of true because I don't do it. I don't, you know, whatever. But it was just so big and gleamy and bright and glistening. It was like an oasis in the desert, the top of my head. And so they sprayed it, and I looked like I was like 19, man. Looked like I had all kinds of hair. And the best part is then they had to color all of my hair. So I've got these huge, like, you know, I got the big Elvis sideburns. I have the huge, like, Elvis sideburns because those are all dark. So I've got, like, these, like, I got the big, like, Quint in Jaws mutton chops. And then I got the huge hair. And I look nothing like I look now in everyday life. It's like completely, I should have just sent somebody else to do the show. I should have just had somebody else stand on stage. Somebody taller and thinner and better looking. Now are your life. All right. Oh, wait, let's check in. This is, let's check in with Mike, the guy recording my tasks. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
This is Mike, who we got on at the beginning of this hour. He was going to keep track of the items I got to and the items I didn't. How am I doing, Mike?
So far, you're 0 for 5. Pretty much you had a fight with Sarah at the first. She gave you a stink eye for a little bit. And then you talked for 25 minutes about the douche wears Prada. And that just doesn't work for us. And then you talked about...
Who is us?
I'm sorry?
Who is us?
Listeners.
You guys. Who's us?
Yeah.
Me and my peeps.
Okay.
But still no news you talked about.
That was fantastic right there. That was what sold it, the little... All right.
It wasn't quite CNN quality.
No, it really wasn't. Okay. So, well, okay, I'll try to do better, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, just to let you know, I did go shopping for a little while, then I came back and listened to you talk about Bigger Than Jesus and a guy's daughter who's 10, and she watched 30 shows. And then you discussed you've been losing your hair and you're not getting any younger. And then 12:48, still no news.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, no problem.
It's coming.
There you go, Mike. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the new News Hour, 1 p.m. edition. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, who will be joining us. Later on, we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, talking about the World Series of Pop Culture and all of that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio.